these motherfuckers smooth and shit.
Hey, man, this is a special one, especially for me, man. For those who don't know, who might not know who this gentleman is sitting next to me. This is Kenny Burns, the lifestyle specialist, man. And, you know, for those who don't know, I'm born and raised in Washington, D.C. If you were 85%, of course, you know that. But this gentleman is as well. And when I first was kind of in that transition phase of what I wanted to do with my life, I came upon a documentary that this gentleman put out. And it motivated me to do what I'm doing now. So everybody got their person that they say, you know, they look up to, they idolize and all that. For me, I always say, man, Kenny Burns. And people are like, who is that? Well, now you know who it is. This dude
sitting right here.
Appreciate that.
Oh, no problem, OG. Let me hit him with one. Before you even do it, hit him with one. Welcome back to the 85 South Show. This is the only podcast you can tune into and see the guests get crab leg juice squirted on them. I'm telling you. We got a very special guest in the house tonight, man. Just like my man Chico was saying, D.C. getting busy on the crab leg.
Fucking right.
And we in this motherfucker,
man. In this motherfucker.
Y'all from the same hood, Chico.
We from the same.
Ain't nobody allergic, you.
No. No, I am, but I gotta eat them to be allergic.
You allergic to what?
The crab.
God damn it, Chico,
man.
But
only if I eat it, you good. It ain't like peanut butter.
Not if you smell it.
Yeah, if I smell it, I'm good. If you had a peanut butter sandwich,
if you smell it, you scrape.
Yeah, I had to go to the car and eat that.
Damn, man.
Yeah, you good.
You sure?
Yeah, I like the fact that you act like me being allergic would make you stop eating them motherfuckers the way you fuck
them up. I'm just trying to make sure now.
You just showing a little concern.
Yeah, that's all.
But yeah, man.
Man, let's get to it, bro.
Kenny, man, I just want to start off by saying, man, thank you. You know what I mean? For being somebody who gives somebody from where I'm from the motivation to be better. And you from the streets and, you know, you then did all of that good stuff. But my first question to you is, why Atlanta?
Freaknik. Shit.
Great answer.
No, real talk. My cousin, I got locked up my senior year in high school that October. He had went to school the following September, and I was on paper, so I couldn't really, you know what I'm saying? So he's telling me, you know, there was no social media, so he couldn't see what was going on. So he's like, man, I'm telling you, this shit is crazy. You better see these joints down here, man. Yeah. And I'm like, all right, bet. You know I can't go nowhere. I don't want to hear about this shit.
Right.
So 92, spring, he's like, man, can you come down here? Can you check with your PO, see if you can come to Atlanta? They got this shit called Freaknik. I'm like, what the fuck is a Freaknik? He's like, man, I'm telling you, it's like black college heaven. You got to come down here. And I'm like, all right, let me see what I can do. So I got with my PR. I was like, look, I'm trying to go down to, I had to pick a school. It was Morris Brown because that's the only one that would accept
the
me.
The best?
Yeah, that's the only one. You know what I'm talking about?
Morris Brown, the best for them folks.
I was like, I'm going to go down there because I want to go to school. Can I go visit the school? Blah, blah, blah. I ain't tell him I was going to Freaknik, but he was like, yeah, nah, go down there, check it out, whatever. You got to be back by this date, da, da, da. I went down there, man. I never in my life, you know, D.C. 10 miles by 10 miles, so you don't really see the world. I've been blessed to travel. My mother moved around a lot when I was young, so I got to see things. But coming down here, I saw people like me from everywhere. You know what I'm talking about? And then back in the day, you know, you had to go, people had to go talk about you. You couldn't just post yourself and talk about what you do, this, that, and the third. So my cousin had been evangelizing that I was this gangster and all this stuff. So when I came down, I knew everybody. Yeah, that's your cousin. That's the one you told. Da, da, da. And so long story short, I fell in love with it. And I came back home. Did what I had to do, you know, because I wasn't about to go on campus to get an apartment and some jewelry. Mm. And I got down that fall, I enrolled in Morris Brown. I was here.
Best shit in the world.
The best shit in the world. And literally, because of Atlanta, like, and you know, I've been here off and on since 92. So half my life, I've been here. I raised my kids here. So I'm, you know, this is my home. You know what I'm saying? And it's crazy because when I came in 92, that's when, you know, Jermaine Dupri sold 4 million records with Criss Cross. You had, you know, So Def was starting. You had Rowdy Records starting. You had LaFace Records planted in the soil and doing their thing. So it was really the start of the music boom here,
right?
Which was a blessing in of itself. And I got in when I fit in immediately.
Shit, I was born in 92.
How did you get the title, the lifestyle specialist? Like, what goes into that? What does that mean to you?
You know, I didn't really like the sucker shit that went on in the music business. So I was always 1 foot in, 1 foot out. You know, because I used to put my hands on people young, because where I'm from, like, you know, that light-skinned, dark-skinned thing was a real thing. And we used to rumble. Hey, somebody, the fuck you looking at? And so growing up, I had to fight a lot. And I just didn't like the sucker shit that would go on in music. You know what I'm saying? And I had the opportunity to realize my skill set in my early 30s, which is marketing and branding. And I just, you know, put 1 foot in front of the other. I didn't really know that my opinion could get me paid. I'm talking about like paid. Like, you know, you can get in the door with the good, right conversation. You can impress somebody with the right conversation. But I didn't know you could get paid for an idea. And so I had an opportunity. My friend had a $5 million account with Axe Body Spray. And I didn't know how she got the account, because everything I had heard to date, it was these big companies like Gray Advertising, Uniworld, all these companies that got all the business. And she's like, I got this account, but I need your help. I know you know Jay-Z and them. I know you know all these people. Can you help me? I was like, absolutely. And so putting the plays together, I was in these rooms in corporate America. And you can't just say you the partner or you the friend. You know what I'm saying? You got to actually have some type of title. And they kept introducing me. I mean, although I had success in the music business at that point, I had signed a girl group named Dream, second biggest debut behind the Spice Girls. I had, you know, so done, helped Jay-Z with Reasonable Doubt, Dame Dash and Big, and Monica was my first artist I ever worked. So I had done things, but I was transitioning because I didn't like the business. And that's when I decided to call myself the Lifestyle Special. They would call me a lifestyle expert. I wasn't old enough, I felt, and had done enough to be an expert, you know what I'm saying? But I just was like, you know what? I'm definitely able to put the pieces together, and that's how I started.
What was your introduction? My bad.
Oh, go ahead.
What was your introduction to the music game?
Because you know, skip over all that shit. You just named a legendary group of people. Now I tell you, you know, I'll let you explain. But even though I know all this information, like 2602 was your
2620. Yeah.
2620.
Yeah,
my bad. 2620 was your party promotion company. And you started throwing parties, you know, and that's a big staple here in Atlanta. So, like, is that how you got to the introduced to the artist, or was it just your own?
No, I got introduced to the artist being in the street. You know, when I was coming up, 16 years old, I was in all the clubs popping off. And this is when Puff was at Howard. And he, you know, he was Jodeci, man. He was like dressing like them niggas. Like, so all the school motherfuckers, we liked to be around because they had all the college girls, you know what I'm saying? And so we just be in the mix. And that's how I met a lot of them. And then when I came here, I had the opportunity to throw parties. Like, you know, there was this group of colleges that really didn't fuck with the city. Like, in 92, the city wasn't fucking, Atlanta wasn't fucking with the school like that. And it wasn't like it wasn't like this. You know what I'm saying? It was like them school niggas fucked them like that. It's we fight all types of wild shit. But because we was in the street, we knew everybody. And so when Al Capone's, Dion's 21 was the hair salon, like we started messing with all the hairstyle, all the lady hairstyles, you know what I'm saying? And just kind of integrating within the city. And they were like, oh, they all right. And then as like the Shanti Dazes and everybody became industry executives, they would bring all the outcasts and all that to the school parties, because that was the mecca of Atlanta. Like, really it was. Like, you know what I'm saying? Everybody I know from that era and obviously prior to mine, they came here and never left. They came to Atlanta and never left. It was quality of living. You could see your money. You know, biggest spectrum of black colleges. You also had Georgia Tech, Georgia State. So, you know, it was one of them things where, like, I didn't really need the industry. It kind of came, I'm sorry, I didn't intend to need or want to be in the industry. It kind of came to me by default. But it's been exciting because, you know, rappers always want to be like street niggas. It was never, like, I ain't never met until Jay-Z, really, who was doing what they said they was doing. You know what I'm saying? Everybody a big dope boy. It's that and third. You know some dope boy. But I hadn't met nobody until 95 when I met Jay that was actually in the street doing it.
So you was around when Reasonable Doubt was being recorded?
Oh, when they started it, the construction of the album, I was around.
Goodness gracious. How did you manage to get into that fold? Because that now, 2020 hindsight, we know that that's one of the most, you know, epic hip-hop projects ever released. But did you know at that time that it was going to be that major?
Nah, I just knew I liked him. Clark Kent, I had hired DJ Clark Kent to DJ for me at the warehouse in the garage a couple times. He ended up taking me on the road with him. He saw my light before I saw it, and he was like, come on. You know what I'm saying? So we'd be at Shaq House when he played in Orlando every 2 weeks with him and Dennis Scott. Like, he just started taking me places, and I'd be on the mic, and he'd be, you know, DJing. And he said, you got to meet my guys. They want to do something in Atlanta. And so we went up to New York. And I used to like get on him, because he had like black, Jay had 560 State Street is a famous address, obviously saying it. We used to go to the spot, he had black lacquer furniture and shit. I'm like, you bam ass nigga, like how
what
you?
What the fuck is black lacquer furniture?
Black lacquer like a piano wood, you know what I'm talking about? And I used to be on his nigga head, like, but he was cool because he had a station wagon buggy with BBS. He had a Honda Accord joint and he had a buggy IB and something. But I thought he was cool.
You had the light, Jay-Z pull up and a Honda station wagon.
Oh no, he had a Honda.
BBS.
He had a Honda Accord station wagon with BBS.
Big ass lip.
Man, shut the Frank ain't never heard no shit like that before.
Shut up, Kenny.
He had a buggy eye Lexus.
He probably still got it. It's probably brand new.
Yeah, but that probably was, got one mile. That's how I met him, and we just all got cool. You know, and it's crazy because we said just celebrated 24 years in Reasonable Doubt. It's arguably one of the best rap albums ever.
Yeah, good. It definitely right. is, man. It definitely is.
Definitely
ain't no hate to make clap.
Yeah. I mean, so you get to a point where you you know, experience a lot of success. But I always personally wanted to ask you, because I know I've learned a lot more from the bump in my head and the failures than I had from the wins. So what would you say was your, when you got to Atlanta and got into it, what was the first time you really had to, you know, sit down and reevaluate some shit? What was the first failure that you experienced after all the success?
I really don't look at life like failures. I agree with you. Like, trial and error is a part of our journey for those who didn't have an opportunity. Like, I couldn't finish school. I was making $3,000 a week at the warehouse. I wasn't going back to school. It was like, all right, you know what I'm saying? Seeing more money probably than I was in the street, because, you know, street money get lopsided. It ain't no win, you know what I'm saying? And so when I like would experience something, I would just take the knot, you know what I'm saying, and keep it moving. I never felt like the things that I wasn't succeeding at was failure. I just saw it as like opportunity to adapt and adjust, or it was time for me to pivot in a certain way. I didn't look at it, I never did. And it's so fucking crazy you ask me a question. Like, until COVID, I never dealt with childhood trauma until COVID. I just always would get, shit would happen, I compartmentalize it, tuck it, and keep it moving, because I was taught to go, you know what right. I'm saying? I've been sitting down for 4 months, nigga, I'm like, I'm getting emotional and shit for no reason and shit. You know what I'm saying? I'm like identifying with things that, like, cause you know, when you see your, you know, at my age, in my mid 40s, it's like, you look at like the community, that's part of you. It's no longer I'm here doing me and I'm not concerned. What happens in the community affects my children, affects my mama. If she can't go out and she gets sick, and so I'm just feeling all these different types of things. But to your question, I never felt that, because I would compartmentalize and put it away. I mean, I done seen niggas get their head blown off. I done been shot at, I done been locked up. You know what I'm saying? Well, Axl Rose looking nigga was running the block. Not no big, burly, strong, nobody. 5 foot, he used to carry a little toothbrush with it. I done seen the wildest shit you could see.
You could see, he was at the
you know what
block
I'm saying? And if y'all don't know who Axl Rose looking, this is Gun and Roses, the little motherfucker.
The little white man.
I done seen the wildest shit.
You said something that I want you to speak on a little bit more. You said street money get lopsided.
Oh, get lopsided.
Like, ain't could no you speak on that for the young niggas watching this right now? Can you speak on that part right
now? Go up and down, you little stupid fuck.
Yeah, it ain't no wins in the street game, because you're gonna lose more than you make. And it's the law of the streets. You don't know nobody. And you look at the runs, man, I've been hearing motherfuckers come out the woodwork from the 80s that I never knew nothing about, because they only had a year run. And they were so busy with the plug and da da da. But like, you know, 50 Cent just got one of these Spanish dudes. He was from the Bronx, and come to find out, my man Fat Joe, a lot of people know him. But I was bugging, like, where was he? But that's the length of time you get in the streets. You don't know. You name one motherfucker had a 10-year run. Name one. Name one motherfucker that had a 5-year run. I'm talking about really getting some real paper, and it's lopsided. And then you see, with the 88 crime bill, and not like, if I got locked up in 91, if I got locked up in 92, I might still be in jail. It's lopsided, you don't win, you know what I'm saying? And if I didn't have money to get a lawyer,
right,
I'd have been twisted, you know what I'm saying? And then obviously—
especially in Maryland.
You get to play with you how they want.
But yeah, and I got locked up, he'll tell you, I got locked up in Frederick, Maryland. It's not worse than the Commonwealth State, which was across the street.
Virginia.
But—
that's the worst you can catch.
That's the worst time you can catch. But you know, you don't win. It's a lopsided game.
Man, that's real. So, like, you being a lifestyle specialist, like, I just tell you, ask a couple questions about some of the things that I was impressed with that people might not know you did. The button-down T-shirts. Like, when that was big. Button-up shirts.
I was about to say, this nigga had niggas wearing button-up T-shirts.
I was about to say, damn, boy, you as a lifestyle coach.
You a cold nigga.
I'm glad you caught that.
When the
God
fuck
damn
was they wearing that shit to
I didn't
even
realize
game
I said that shit. A button-up T-shirt. Yeah. We need to come with them, nigga. The button-up
T-shirt. Look, I try to say it low, like button-up.
Button-ups, my bad. Yeah. But shit, but shirt, fuck it. Niggas fuck up. Yeah. Ain't no wins, nigga. Yeah, fuck it. But, like, I don't think a lot of people know that era, like, what was it?
Change Clothes Era. That's when Jay-Z made the clothes. Change Clothes Era.
But what was the name of the—
Ryan Kenny.
Brian Kenny, yeah.
Ryan Kenny. We was the second black designers ever in Saks Fifth Avenue before Virgil, before anybody. The only ones before us was Willie Ware in the 80s.
Keep it two Virgils with me.
Yeah, yeah.
And Willie Ware.
And so Willie Ware was the first. Ryan Kenny was the second. But the—
and who?
The,
Saks?
Yeah, Saks Fifth Avenue. Grace the Walls of Saks. But no department stores were carrying black anything back then. There was no— you couldn't get your thing. And because I shopped so much, Terry Zimmerman, big shout out to Terry Zimmerman white lady was the manager of the men's department. She was like, yo, you spent so much money in here. I saw your thing. Usher had your thing on VH1. I was like, can you put it in the store? Done. And we had already had like 300 boutique doors, but we didn't have. But the idea came from because we were growing up. Like, hip hop was big white tees and baggy sweatpants. I mean, baggy hoop shorts at this point. You know what I'm saying? And we were like, hip hop is growing up, and we were getting real money. Like, prior to our generation, it was, you know, 100 million, 200 million, 300 million, half, you know, we were a $1 billion business now. And it was like, we don't look like a billion. Now we run around here. You know what I'm saying? Let's, you know what I mean? Yeah, put it together. Right. And so we.
I don't like how y'all put the pressure on regular niggas, though.
Nah, but y'all.
Because y'all was like, man, take that shit off. Like, nigga, we ain't got no 100 million. Yeah.
And them motherfuckers, and them shirts was
what
expensive, too.
What the fuck is some on two now?
Now, you know the fucked up part? I went to get one, and then I went to put the motherfucker on, and these ain't clothes. I'm like, man, why the fuck the guy with a button at the clothes? This? I ain't know what the fuck.
You ain't had no wrist button.
I ain't had no wrist button.
Yeah, then you would have to buy the cufflinks from Lorraine Schwartz, was another $5.
See, that's exactly what the fuck. As soon as I heard that, I was like, man, these niggas crazy. Yeah.
Another $5.
But you know what it was? It was like culture shock. Like at that time, music was changing. Everything was changing. I look at music, the music industry in 10-year lows. And one portion of that 10 years would be dark and everything would be drugged out and just super dark. And then it'd be happy and sync and da da da. And
all this fuck with no drug.
Yeah, exactly. You know what I'm talking about?
Not bad then.
Not fuck with no drugs.
Yeah, exactly. So, but you know, it gets to a point where like you got to identify when that phase is coming. If you really want to, we were talking about this outside before y'all came, you know, if you can really identify when culture shifting,
right,
you can really into that real game of monetary gain. You know what I'm saying? That real game of monetary gain. If you can identify like shit.
That's the book title.
Hello? Y'all heard that? Cameras? Okay, great. But I like my mindset is like, I want to be involved with the next wave of thought process when it comes to fashion and lifestyle, because before me, you know, these spirit companies couldn't prove an ROI on lifestyle. Like, how the motherfucker gonna make us some money? How he gonna make, how?
Tell us what we want.
You know what I'm saying? Like, how? And then when I did it, it was double down. So, and I'm sure we're gonna get into that. But to
I
the
hope you didn't tell them how.
No, I did, but I kept perfecting it. And
there
that's the
go.
Thing about black folk. We were talking about this outside too. It's like the whole shit with Trump and why shit seems so crazy. But black folk mad because they can't kill us. We don't go nowhere. They can't kill us in business. They can't kill us physically. I mean, they can kill one of us, but we're gonna come back stronger, more resourceful, more necessary. And I think that, you know, this has been my mindset. I just knew that hip hop needed to grow up. I wanted to be a catalyst. We ended up becoming the second black designers ever in Saks, like I mentioned. And then, you know, we're in the record books.
Good. I love how this nigga just casually throw history out there.
Right, like
this. So I hired DJ Clark Kent. Yeah. He was struggling.
Yeah, me and Jay-Z.
He said he was struggling.
I did not say Clark Kent was struggling. He was Tony Rome, I did not say you were struggling.
I was at Jay-Z, 520 State Street. He had black lack of furniture.
Jay-Z in this motherfucking Honda, right? Nobody can get Hov out of this bitch.
It's crazy. You're funny. So I... Like at this point,
he done fucked. Hold up, your boy done fucked the whole planet.
Oh yeah,
boy, I got one leg. Like that. One leg.
Now he want to shed.
Bro, I'm about to say he had some motherfucker into the last leg.
He been doing this mean 60 minutes interview, looking over crab leg. Pop.
Y'all know what this part is.
Yeah. You catching that game? Yeah, he enjoying the crabs.
Yes,
catching
sir.
That game. He got meat over there.
Yeah, all the meat right there.
Hey man, welcome to the Trap House, Kenny Burns. I know you done got rich and shit. You ain't been in the Trap House in a minute, but this is the official 85 South Show Trap House. We trapping right here. Look at Marvin Gaye looking at you. He proud of you. All that shit you said. Marvin Gaye like, man, niggas is really out here getting it. He probably got Marvin Gaye.
Another DC guy.
Another DC guy.
Another one.
Me and Marvin Gaye got the same birthday. So that picture is
you bullshit.
I swear to God,
when your birthday?
April 2nd.
Hey, birthday April 2nd.
Yes, sir.
I'm over the Taurus. Fuck it.
Exactly.
Look at this nigga, man. Lips look like he got on some goddamn lip gloss. And
hold up, man. You know we got a research department over here at the 85 South Show. We got some more of your facts over here.
Come on.
This ain't it.
Y'all are journalists.
Yeah, we trying to make it right. You know, when the lifestyle specialist was coming, we got to make sure we get the people that don't know.
We got to have some motherfucking effects over shit. This is a platform for all the OGs and people that we fuck with. Because, you know, we met on another tip.
Yeah.
Nigga, I ain't know nothing about all that shit.
Oh, yeah.
Hell no. Nah. Yeah. I knew of it, but I ain't know, like, how deep.
Oh,
deep.
What tip y'all met on?
So, we had, I had consulted for this tobacco company. Mm-hmm. And I kept telling them, you know what I'm saying, that he'd be perfect for Backwoods or Dutch Master, because they had both.
Right.
And so they had finally came, you know, with an X, Y, you know, with an opportunity. So I reached out to him, he said, boom, and I need to get it in cash too. Can you get it in cash. Can you get it?
My boy said, he said, I'm getting on that plane and I got cash. When I get there, it go be in cash.
Nah, look, I don't interfere with nobody hustle. If you want something, Mr. Client, and this is the way the man want to get his bread, then you got to apply.
Hey, you would think we were doing a drug deal. It was that Wild Not too. He was like, you got it? He was like, yeah. I'm like, all right, come back here then. He walked to the back. I was like, here, you got it? He said, yeah. He lifted it out. He said, envelope. I said, ooh, that motherfucker thick. Well, can't give it up. Not doing business with you, Mr. Kittenberg.
Oh, boy, had it, boy, yes, sir. No, but that's how it went. But I, you know, that's what I've done my whole career, though. I love identifying superstars early. Like, you know what I'm saying? And he clearly obviously had a name. That's why they wanted to do business with him. But when you got to pair things with companies, pair people with companies, you got to pick, you know, you got to make the right choices. You know what I'm saying? He obviously is.
What do you feel like you get that vision from, to be able to see where you see somebody like a Fly who just raw talent and say, you know what, this will work? When do you think you perfected that, being able to have that vision to be able to see that, you know, all right, Los, this he'll be perfect for this, or Chico, he'll be perfect for this? Like,
I think that was my God-given ability. I think that's how I survived the street ultimately. I think that's how I've been able to be as blessed as I am. You know, because people make the world go round. Like, I don't mean that in a cliche sense. I mean, I treat the janitor to hold the same motherfucking way. I always had, no matter what I got, I'm gonna tell you what it is. If it changes, I'm gonna tell you. I just don't believe in misguiding. You know what I'm saying? The problem with our people is that we misguide each other. You know what I'm saying? Like, during this whole pandemic, you got a whole bunch of false prophets jumping to the front trying to be speakers on activism and politics. Nigga, you ain't been on the front line of nothing. You know what I'm saying? You ain't got no say-so in politics. You had the whole primary to say X, Y, and Z. And I'm type nigga hold responsible. You know what I'm saying? Because I feel like we all we got, like, in a real way. Like, and if we don't put each other in perspective, it ain't about cancel culture. That's a whole nother topic. This is about holding people responsible. We can't have all this power and not be held responsible. Right. We got a lot of powers telling them before you pulled up. I was like, to be able to have all the followers y'all have and had the conversations y'all have, y'all are educating. You're doing it in your way. It's right. Like my first time speaking at a college university. I asked the professor, I said, can I please curse? I'm not going to say shit, damn motherfucker, goddamn,
They got to hear it. That's the only way.
That's the only way you can connect to the youngest. And people always like, why the youngest fuck with you so much? Because I don't discard them. I take their opinions valuably. You know what I'm saying? Not just take their opinion. I value, like, my son swears Lil Baby's the GOAT. I grew up working with the GOATs, nigga. Like, he swears Lil Baby, and I can't be like, he ain't the GOAT. I gotta see. And then he hit me with that motherfucking new record. First time I ever heard him say some conscious shit in my life. I'm thoroughly impressed and hopeful for that generation. You know what I'm saying? But I wasn't finna shun him before I got that.
Right.
Hey, he don't get enough credit.
He don't.
Shout out to Go Hard.
Yeah,
definitely. He don't. He killed that record. What's the name of the record? Anybody?
Which one? The one you talking about?
The one with the political joint.
Yeah, he went nuts.
So big shout out to him.
Consistency wins all the time.
Research department, give me the name of that song ASAP.
Yeah, all the time. We need that.
But you know, I had John Ossoff, who running for state senate for Georgia, on my show. I started the show off with that song, told him how he needed Lil Baby. I had no conversation with nobody. That's just what I do.
I feel like that's when it comes to OGs. They don't.
The bigger picture.
Yeah, the bigger picture. They don't shed the knowledge.
Right.
You see what I'm saying? What's the word I'm looking for? Is it pretentious?
Yeah, they always withhold. You know what I mean? The withhold.
But that's what I'm saying. They always trying to showboat and acting like, let me show you what I got, instead of saying, let me show you how I got it. Right. You see what I'm saying? I don't want to know what you got. Show me how you got it. Yeah. You feel what I'm saying? Because then I can use that knowledge and go get my own.
Absolutely. Right.
You dig what I'm saying? You trying to showboat and trying to say, oh, this is what you got. So you have left the younger generation to figure it out on themselves and come up with a plan on, damn, how you got that? Well, because the curriculum that they're teaching is not teaching us how to get nothing.
Right.
You just so happen to break the code. So once you broke the code, you got to give the younger generation that knowledge. And that's why I just bought 5 more books today, and I hate reading.
Yeah, you got to do it. If you want to know something, you got to find out about it.
But guess what? It's in the book, nigga. Right. Everything that you even want to think about knowing or you even want to know, it's in a book, bro. Like, some people don't have that, the ability, us, to speak out when be on stage in front of a whole bunch of people and you have that ability to speak. So some people are just so highly educated, they like, well, let me write it down.
Yeah.
Hopefully somebody will figure it out. Because I told somebody, books ain't nothing but notes.
Yeah, facts.
It's just what a motherfucker thinking.
And imagine if you wrote down everything you did in your life, what your book would be.
That motherfucker.
And that's real. Like, if you just told stories through your experience.
For real.
But
niggas don't want to read it 20, 30 years. They want to read it now.
They want to read your book now.
If you find an Einstein book right now and you tell me you're going to read that shit, you're going to be like, man, I got to hear what this nigga was talking about. What?
Well, I want to address 2 things you said. I think OGs, they don't want to share the game because they don't want to be out the game. And what a lot of them don't. I'm just
but
not even that they're old. You know, we as a culture, it says in hip hop that once you get a certain age, you out of here.
Right.
And when this generation brought the $1 billion to the table, they don't want to go nowhere. Right. But instead of saying, all right, let me take these youngins and put some real time into them, tell them what I know, what happened with us. You know what I'm talking about? Mm. But no, a lot of these dudes took them, didn't treat them right.
Made money off of them.
Yeah,
took their dollars.
Instead of saying like, oh, I see your light. Your superpower is amazing. This is what it is. That's what happened to me. That's why God rest his soul, Andre Harrell. Like, I give him ultimate credit because, you know, I'm a street guy in a business that is music.
Oh, you got to tell that story. You skipping over it. He went home. He had to go back home for some probation shit. Mind you, all this is in the documentary that he put out. He had to go back home for some probation.
No, he go crazy.
And, when he went back home for the probation, he found out Andre Harrell was coming through D.C. And it was a place on 14th Street that used to throw parties and shit. So he found out that he was coming through, found out that he liked light-skinned women and Don Perignon. And so when he came, when he threw the party, he made sure he had both of them for him. So dude was impressed. He said, man, hey, man, I ain't never seen nobody put it together like this. I asked him to come to New York Monday morning. And he said he told him what to be there at 8 o'clock. You know what I mean? He ain't come till 10, but he came and he was like, you know, man, I'm here. And then he said he gave him what, 60,000 first?
You do street team market promotions, went from 60 to 100 to 150 in a year. And the reason I love him and what I was saying to you about OGs is like, he took the time.
Right.
You understand what I'm saying? Like, time is all a young black mind needs. You understand what I'm saying? Exactly, time. And that's what he did. He showed me Basquiat. He showed first man, black man I ever seen with a driver, you know what I'm saying, in a Rolls Royce. Had an apartment on the Upper West Side of New York when black folk wasn't even, you know what I'm saying, whole top of the motherfucking apartment. I'm like, damn, this is possible? He's like, yeah, and you got the power to make it happen. I'm like, nigga, and I'm imagine, you know, I'm fresh off of, like, I'm just, my mother had moved to Atlanta, so we all here now. They came, knocked on her door, because my probation said I ain't report in 6 months. So extradition, they could have held me for 6 months while they figured some dumb shit. I'm in the middle of my, my trajectory. You know, right. My trajectory, like I was popping. Like right. I was already the party nigga, now I'm in the music business. So I'm like, I can't afford that. So I drove, got in the car like 35 minutes later, drove to DC, went to get my lawyer. They came looking for me, he fixed it. Whole time he told you the story, Drake come. And my thing is like, at that point in my life, that saved my life. I wasn't moving, thinking about them peoples. I was like, I'm off. I felt like I was off paper. And I had reported, by the way, but the clerk had made a file mistake. And this is how they do black folk all the time. Said I could email my shit. I'm sorry, fax my shit. It wasn't even no, I mean, if it was email. But they said I could fax my shit. I ain't have to report.
Mm-hmm.
That shit could have had me. I had 10 years back. I had a fucking Meek Mill. I had a Meek Mill. Like. And so, but my point is, he got me at the most crucial time in my life, you know what I'm saying? And pointed me in the right direction. I met my wife right after that. He gave me my first piece of real art, you know what I'm saying? Like, and my life has been because of his offering, because he took the time. And that's what OGs don't do now. And then the other thing you said some other key shit that I wanted to address, but you said, I forgot it, but that's the most important piece. Rest in peace, Andre Harrell.
Yeah, and I that's what you said about OGs, you know, hip-hop being a game with an old is out, I hate that about this, because we the only people that put that standard on our superstar.
Right.
Like, you look at rock and roll and country, them motherfuckers be old as you still see
all the Richie started that.
Walking around old and a motherfucker performing for hundreds of thousands of people.
Forever.
But for some reason.
Frankie Beverly and May, 70 something years
still
old.
Still going on the road.
I mean, yeah. But for some reason, hip hop, which has done the most for the streets, right. No matter where you come from in this country, hip hop has done more for the streets than anything else. And when guys get older, they automatically lose their luster because they old, when in reality, we need to stop doing that to our people. Like, even if you don't like it, there's still a lane for guys who, you know, made history.
They paved the way.
Yeah, they paved the way. And it should be, you know, something that should be in place for, I mean, I'm talking about.
And we, honored.
Yeah, me and Los just did, and we always have tried to do that with our platforms, even, you know, in the old school battles and stuff that we do.
Hey, what's up? Get YouTube, it's me, Hannibal Burris. This cop stupid as fuck.
Hopefully I don't die of asthma, because I have that. It's mostly under control, but, you know, it flares up every now. Asthma doesn't get a lot of respect out here, though. As far as diseases go, asthma doesn't get cancer love in these streets. You don't see these commercials, merchandise, celeb endorsements. None of that. There's no asthma walks because everybody would have asthma attacks. People think asthma's hilarious. When I pull out my inhaler in front of my friends, I might as well pull out a kazoo the way they laugh at me. Hey, look at Hannibal. Puff, puff, puff. I don't want to die. Look at him. He can't breathe without that shit. Puff, puff. Okay, I'm good now, y'all.
Miami Nights.
Like, we just did something with Dougie Fresh, did an old school battle with Dougie Fresh beatboxing. And for a lot of youngins, like, has been hitting us like, man, I didn't know who he was.
Dougie Fresh.
You know what I mean? Right. I didn't know who Dougie Fresh was. And for us to be able to be cool enough to incorporate that into something that people like us for, but at the same time give that spotlight and that shine to a legend,
right,
is something that's important. You know what I mean? Yeah. And that's what we try to do all the way around.
And to tap on that too, when I played Sly.
Right, let's get
when
it.
When I played
Sly. Round of applause for Sly. American Soul.
Let's not skip over
that. That man killed that thing,
let's
man.
Let's not skip over that. Nigga was talking
listen,
about milk and mama.
You kill. See how he did that though? He's like this.
Listen, cause it was.
I did slide.
He learned that shit from you. You right. been but doing listen, that shit this whole time.
Episode, right?
But listen, when I first did it, it was like I'm acting and actually doing music, so I'm doing both of my dreams and passions at the same
true
time.
Love.
With true love, not really. It fucked the dollar. I'm actually doing something that I always dreamed of doing. Of like when I seen Jamie play Ray, I'm like, I can't wait till my time to actually perform and be somebody else and really live that dream. But when I did it. That was the first start of me tapping into revolutionary. Because I had to go back and do homework on Sly. And when I, cause now in the acting mindset, I gotta be this character, I gotta know this character, I got to live through, you like he gotta live through me right now. I gotta become him. So once I started doing the homework and I was like, oh, been around in our lives multiple times, but a guy like this don't get that much recognition. Or like you said, older guys, y'all know this. Why you ain't telling us? You feel me? Now, this was the first group, diverse group, back then when all the civil rights and all that was going through, this was a whole nother lane, and he really paved the way for you to even be in a group with somebody white, or we breaking barriers.
He was making songs like, don't call me nigga whitey.
You hear what I'm saying? But Sean, and he wasn't no
time out. That nigga got a song called, don't call me nigga whitey.
Don't listen, call bro. Me real nigga real whitey.
Listen, where my phone at? I listen. Got to get that. I hope
and
that's
it's cold.
Apple
and
music.
It's cold.
But listen.
And it's and cold.
He got, and he got white people in his band. He got white people, Asians. He got all type of motherfuckers in his band. You pick, nigga. Whoever.
Yeah, the llama. I saw it on the
in the band. Nigga, when he didn't bullshit.
By the way,
you
that
see
was
what I'm saying?
Funny than the motherfucker.
Hey, one thing, that llama, that motherfucker will bite.
That motherfucker spit on
that
your
motherfucker.
Ass.
I was like, hey, ho, y'all got to get that motherfucker right here. He bullshit. He almost called it left, right, right, left, right. But no, but even playing that role, it made me, respect anybody who paved the way or anybody who had some type of impact, because it's really not about the name. And it started making me going back and looking at all the unheard of heroes we got, the people, the ones that's not being praised and stuff like this. So it's like, we got so many people.
Yeah,
that
don't
have
forget the legacy.
We can't forget the legacy, because the legacy is history.
Yeah.
And when
it's
they
a
don't
part
tell,
of your history.
And when they don't tell the legacy, they get to rewrite the history.
And they will write your ass out of history.
Man,
listen to me.
These bitches have been writing shit
they
out,
will,
man.
They will erase you. And that's the thing. People used to always ask me, why you shooting everything? Why you taping everything? Why you?
I thought they was about talking about the street shit again.
Oh, no.
Oh, hell no. Nah. I can tell you that
you're going. Hold on, Kenny. You got to give me an intro, man. Nah. Like, whoa, Kenny, what them niggas do? Yeah. What year was this? Yeah. Was this before the parties and shit?
That was definitely before the party. Actually, we had a big gun battle. So, but I was saying, what was I saying? Oh,
we was at Home Station Wagon. Then we had that bitch on 14. He had pulled up. BBS's. I'm telling you, nigga was clean. All right, go ahead.
No, see, you made me think about another station wagon moment on 14th Street.
Hell no, don't do that.
When you took the door
panel. Do watch this shit.
Yeah.
No.
He bullshit. You was just playing.
Statute of limitations.
Ain't
we don't know. They might switch it around.
He already did time.
Statute of limitations.
He was playing.
You didn't hear that part? He did the time for this.
We ain't got time for them trying to bring no shit back up.
The door panels that pop right off.
Anyway, so I was saying, they will erase you if you let them.
I know.
So document everything and remind motherfuckers. Like, I have no problem. Like, I just posted my Reasonable Doubt plaque yesterday. I just, celebrating the joint. I posted every picture I ever had with these motherfuckers. Let me just post a plaque.
Right.
Just so you niggas know that Big Head Kenny had the Reasonable Doubt on Priority Freeze records, not Def Jam. Priority Freeze. I mean, but you got to remind motherfuckers, they will erase you.
Right.
I
want
to see the motherfuckers.
But then, this the thing, too, though. By me being 28, I'm like,
damn.
I'm like, yeah, cause when you said 92, when you was just getting popped out, I was getting popped out my mama pussy. So it was like, damn.
One more time, nigga.
Popped out my mama pussy. I'm like, damn.
Had the stroke mouth.
So it's like.
That nigga turned to the stroke mouth pussy.
Hey, don't come, you gotta understand, that 28 years.
Yeah, that plaque cold in the motherfucker.
Let me see that.
But that 28 years of you been handling your business. Ooh, yeah. You dig what I'm saying? And for us younger people, we got to know that, because like you say, they rewrite history and try to say this is what happened and that ain't what happened.
Yeah. And then they be like, well, how you know? You don't have any references.
Yeah. One so day they like, gonna say we was don't. Three white men who started the show.
Right.
That was focused on race relations.
That shit was crazy.
Give it time. We already receiving hate mail from the white community.
People,
they
right.
they definitely eyeballing this. They might not try to get it now, but they've been, it's a nice show. Be ashamed if somebody bought it.
85 South was originated by such and such.
Yeah, exactly.
Implemented their own.
No, it wasn't.
You got too many owners. They can't buy it.
I'm going to tell y'all this, though. I'm going to tell you this to your point, though, DC. Like, at the end of the day, you got to enjoy your journey, man.
Right.
I think a lot of the times people get these lofty dreams, because we all have lofty dreams. We all want to be uber successful.
My shit dumb.
Yeah, but you also got to know that that's probably not going to happen.
Some of it gonna happen.
No, and I'm
listen
to what I'm saying though. You can't possibly be able to achieve your dream if you don't appreciate the journey. We get in our own way. Like, we get to the point of like dysfunction because we think it ain't happening with such and such or such and such did it. God damn it, I've been doing that shit. You know how long I've been working before I actually got equity in the brand?
You know how much.
But I wanna say it will work, just like how you said, because I don't like to kind of like shine niggas' dreams and hopes and saying that he ain't gonna do shit. Cause I was once one of them children and a nigga told me I wasn't gonna do it and I believe.
Well, I'm not telling you you're not gonna do it.
No, I ain't saying
that. No, I'm not saying your dreams won't happen.
Not saying that, yeah. But I'm saying though, if I was just a little bit more aggressive at right. that time and standpoint, he wouldn't be able to get to me.
Right.
You see what I'm saying? But by me not having a resource or a real reliable backbone to be like, damn, well, maybe the nigga right. Maybe I am sorry than a motherfucker.
Yeah.
But I really wasn't. I really wasn't. You feel what I'm saying? He bullshitting. I was really great. But he happened to manipulate my mind. I was like, maybe I am sorry.
No, but that's the point. DC, that's the point, though. The point is that when you focus only on the dream,
right.
you're judging your steps on the dream. You're not judging your steps on the things in front of you that you could get right now to get. And that's what I'm saying. Like, for me, even with Uncle Nearest, I know we're going to talk about it. I created influencer programs that all spirit companies use. I didn't fucking copyright that shit. Right. I'm not getting paid, you know what I'm saying, from every, I should be getting a piece off, but guess what happened though? I didn't block my blessings by worrying about that shit. I didn't know. It's okay. I didn't know. Right. I kept moving in this direction, and ultimately, my dream, I was just telling Chico outside, Lowe's in DC before y'all came, my dream has nothing, like, has everything to do with what I want and what I see for myself. What's happening is the best thing that ever happened to me out of any business I've ever done. And I've done some great shit. But until Uncle Nears, I didn't really have equity in nothing. You know what I'm saying? Right. And that's what I'm trying to
just tell you. Just working, just putting pieces together. Because you ain't leaving no legacy.
Something that you said that motivated me throughout that journey is to be a brand, you have to become the brand itself.
Of course.
You know what I mean? And I use that through a lot of, cause I used to drive a Saturn View, nigga, with like 250,000 miles on it, but I was the Saturn when I was in that bitch. Because that was the only way I was gonna be able to get the fuck up out that motherfucker.
Yeah,
I had to become one with the Saturn View. And it's like a lot of those lessons that I learned on the come up, like I used to have to walk home from the repair shop when the shit would break down. And on them walks home, I would always think like, man, if I just allow myself to stay in this space, I ain't gonna never get out of it. I ain't gonna never be able to make myself greater than what it is that I am right now. And that's something that I learned from watching that documentary, which you need to put back out somewhere.
We're gonna show it on Nay Page right after this show.
Oh, please, like, don't flex.
No, 100%.
Listen, that's it. Everybody need to watch this motherfucker because like I said, at that point in my life, I was at a crossroads. I had went to Winston-Salem State University, got a degree in communications, radio, television, went down to where I did my internship at, and they told me I was gonna be making $6.25 an hour part-time.
Fuck no.
And I said, fuck no, I'm not. Like, shit. If I'm gonna be poor and struggling, I'd much rather be poor and struggling, building my own legacy. And I done been getting my own money since I was 9 years old, so it's never been about money to me. I know how to make money. I've always known how to make money, but this is my life. I'm about to go out into the world. This is the legacy. And mind you, my father ain't have a headstone. This nigga got killed when I was 2. Ain't have enough to leave a headstone. Most of the men in my family is in the streets, in jail, or fucked off somewhere. So I'm like, all right, I know the examples that's been set for me by my people, but what am I going to do? Right. And when I came in contact with his documentary, seeing somebody that was from the city and the shit that you said, it just made me realize that, okay, I got the ability to make whatever I want to make happen. I just gotta do this shit and be focused enough to be able to make it happen. And that's why I decided to stay in North Carolina instead of going back to DC, because I knew if I went back to DC, the opinions of the people who matter would affect me differently. Oh, okay. Like, for example, if you chasing your dream, like you said, buddy who said you wasn't shit, this had to be a nigga that you respected in some capacity.
He was the coach.
Right. So
you told me, but take your ass home. I was hurt.
Right. And I didn't want to have to deal with that because I knew that from watching the documentary, just knowing how shit go, when you chase any dream, you ain't going to be rich overnight. It don't work like that. You got to hustle. So I knew if I was hustling in that part of me that everybody knew me for always being the fly nigga and always having my way, when I wasn't doing that, I didn't want the people whose opinions to matter to be like, damn, Bean, you fucked up. You're in the Saturn, ain't you, nigga? That bitch got every light glowing on the dashboard. Nigga trying to land an airplane. You know what I mean? I didn't want to have to deal with that. So I stayed where I didn't know nobody, and I had to create my own following and legacy and everything. But I think that a lot of people need to understand that we, as especially young black men who watch this shit, you have a responsibility to be true to who you are and find out what that is and beat the pavement as much as you can. You'll never get there if you don't. Like, me and this nigga came in contact with each other. We don't mind, none of us mind telling the truth about the journey. Like, we was broke them first seasons a while. Now, I'm talking about nigga fucked up, washing clothes at a hotel. You know how fucked up you gotta be to wash your clothes in a hotel laundromat, nigga? I'm talking about the bitches down there washing sheets and pillowcases and shit. We down there with our drawers in the same washing machine. But that's what it was. And we knew that we had to get to a greater purpose. But if you allow yourself to be stuck in whatever space you in mentally, you'll never break out.
I'm going to tell you, you said it in
God Los. God damn it, I ain't say it.
No, I think you said it too. Los, like, I think you did say it, Los.
What is this?
I love what y'all both said about, you know what I'm saying, it not being about the money.
It's never about the money.
And I'm gonna tell you why your profits with the ability to speak to these youngins by saying shit like that. Like, money is the root to all evil.
It's attention now.
It is. No, but it's the root to all evil. You ain't never met a motherfucker. I watch Unsung religiously. You ain't never seen a positive Unsung.
Hey, Fly.
Am I lying?
Crazy, bro.
Am I lying? And I'm not trying. I love the show. And I love the stories. And I love the history. But do you ever see from that era, and it's a specific era I'm talking about, right. 70s to the
90s. 90s, yeah.
It's an era, motherfucker, that's just bad, man. And it went bad. Crazy. But see, because guess what? You fish out of water. Imagine being a motherfucker that you ain't. Like, imagine looking in the mirror every day and you this artist that they made you. And you not yourself. You struggling to deal with your own fucking identity.
I know that, Chris.
But that's money. Money make you do that. Your fucking personality told you not to do the shit.
Right.
It told you to be you. It told you not to walk to Brooklyn for cheesecake. It told you that shit.
That was the craziest shit I ever
seen. It told you that shit. But you go through this shit being not who you are. And it fucking comes to bite you in the ass. And I respect y'all.
God,
I respect y'all before the show. Because I know all of y'all individually. On some level, but I respect that you saying that publicly because the young value money too much. Money ain't shit to get for a motherfucker who can get some money.
Right.
So anybody with some exemplary creative to
offer. Bring that back. Bring that back.
Yeah,
bring
I don't know if back. I can say it correctly.
No,
again.
Bring,
I said
it don't matter. You educate. You educate.
Yeah,
exemplary.
But if you have a creative.
Exemplary. Did you say exemplary?
Yeah. If you have a skill set in the creative department that puts you, separates you from the next man, double down on that shit. Don't worry about the money. Cause you want, I could tell you right now, I've given 100 ideas away for free to get in the door.
Give me one.
You know what I'm talking about? Shit, I mean, no, influencer
you.
Program.
No, cause this
you
why
think
we,
if I couldn't monetize
that's why we
that
saved
shit?
This. This is what I really want to get at you about, bro.
We are.
We're gonna run.
We're
closing on this.
Talk about some
shit,
though.
I know that.
Hey, we're closing on this.
As a light skinned nigga, that Christopher Williams on something fucked you up, didn't it? Don't wake me.
I'm sad for Chris because he was way talented. That was not. He had Changes and it was over.
Yeah.
I mean, his album Changes.
Yeah,
he had New York Undercover and it was over. But I feel bad.
He told
bad.
Him Nino Brown.
Even
that's
like the El DeBarge. You saw the El DeBarge on something. All y'all youngers out there, you want to see
the DeBarge got an Unsung?
The DeBarges?
What?
Hey, dog, Bobby DeBarge, my nigga, one time for Bobby DeBarge, man. But I'm telling you, but people, my thing is mental illness is a real thing.
It is.
And I think people should, like, understand that getting into this business. If you are not a strong, if you don't have a strong mind for your own mind, this
you don't
ain't
know how to take criticism? Let me tell you something. A motherfucker can't say shit to me that I ain't already heard.
They're gonna hurt your feelings.
Right, that nigga, my daddy had Alzheimer's. My parents was old my entire life.
Right.
What the fuck can you say to me?
Right.
You dig what I'm saying? They like, who dad in there with the shakies? I'm like, damn, that's my daddy in there with the shakies. Yeah, yeah, nigga, yeah. So it's like, I wanna tell the young guys out there, bro, listen, bro, the world is a cruel world. But you have so many genuine people that will follow you, really follow your leadership. And that's what I had to learn. I'm such of a rider. You feel me? Like, my partner got something going on, nigga, we riding. If he got some shit that's successful, nigga, we riding. Nigga, you let go. But then I had to understand I wasn't tapping into my own leadership because I'm too busy just want to support somebody else.
That's right.
Because it's way... The pressure is so much off you when everybody's not looking at you like, what's to do? Right. You see what I'm saying? Like, right now, we all the head of our family. And every day, a motherfucker know they scrape because they know you up. Or they know you gonna find a way. You see what I'm saying? But at that time, I was just like, shit, who way we going with today? You know what I'm saying? Yeah. And instead of me trying to figure it out.
Because I don't want to enable you guys.
But not really just enable. It was just more so... Everybody got leadership qualities in them.
Yeah.
You see what I'm saying? And if you, I always tell this, and I always, you know what I'm saying, me and motherfuckers who have a team that works together because everybody have a leadership. You got the CEO.
You got the president, you got the vice president. Okay, them all different titles. The CEO can't do what the general doing. Okay, he doing the CEO shit.
Right.
The CEO needs you, motherfucker. So you got to go be a general and lead other motherfuckers up under you. So when I see motherfuckers really doing it together and understanding and taking they role, but understanding your role is a leader, man, I got to give it to him, man. Yeah, I got to give it to him.
Round of applause for that. See, he 28. Talking that shit. When he get to be my age, he gonna be a mother. He might run for president. You fella?
That's a lot. That's a lot.
You a fella?
That's a lot.
No.
Well, if you ain't no fella, you good.
You good.
But I can't. Yeah.
Well, you good. You know. But I want to say that. I want to say this though, Chico.
Like, they tell me no. I said shit.
A good woman. A good woman.
Give us that stimulus check.
A good woman. A good woman. Which you good.
Yeah.
A good woman had to ask. I didn't.
Okay, it's all good. Yeah.
But
yeah.
A good woman will help you get to where you going. And I'm gonna tell you.
Can you tell that to the women though? Cause they be acting like they don't know.
I'm talking to everybody listening.
Y'all bitches listen.
I'm talking to everybody listening. A good woman, and I'm gonna tell you this. Speaking life into each other, having the ability to speak life into each other. Your partner. He gonna ride, he gonna be on your side, he gonna say what you wanna hear 9 times out of 10.
Right.
But your woman, and I'm not talking about confrontation, I ain't talking about petty, I ain't talking about spiteful. I'm talking about a person you respect.
Right.
That you could be friends with, make love to. It's a whole nother offering when y'all on the same page. And that type of information you get from them type relationship, I promise you,
you feel
it's a missing ingredient. My wife met me, how you got a rotten tooth if you look like that? I was like, I don't know. My mama never taught me about saving them back.
She roasted your ass.
I'm just
got
saying.
Got a rotten tooth.
No, but I'm saying.
She got a bad apple, ugly man.
Light skin with a brown skin tooth. That's fucking crazy.
But my point is, I wouldn't have identified it. I'm a grown man with $30,000 under my mattress, and I'm $30,000 in debt. It's certain things, maternally, men ain't going to do for men. And I promise y'all this. Like, I became Superman in 1997. My wife told me that I was Kenny motherfucking Burns. I've been married 21 years since October. 21. Ooh. In this business.
Shit, man, a different thing when you got boost.
I give it to you.
You I give it nigga. To you. I am, man.
I respect it. I ain't never doing that shit, but I respect it. I respect it. I respect it.
Good woman, man.
I respect it.
He said, I ain't never done
that. I can't do it, crazy. But I respect it. I mean, I respect what you're saying, but I can't.
Ladies, y'all hear that? So start telling us what the fuck we need to hear so I can turn into Superman.
But that's the thing. What do you think those characteristics of a woman are? Because you said you having one that you respect. What do you think the characteristics of a woman?
The key word is that you respect. I mean, too many niggas be looking for the wrong chick because another nigga like
this. If you can give
a nigga rap.
If you can give general characteristics of what you think from your experience, not just from what you, because you done been in the potty game, you done been around.
Don't get hurt.
The best of the best
and the worst of the worst.
Yeah.
So what do you think the characteristics of the ones that are going to motivate a man? And mind you, a man that got some shit going on, we never talking to niggas who are afraid of responsibility. That's the first thing you got to do, fellas, right. Is embrace responsibility.
Right. Can't help that. You got to handle all your business, boy.
For the guys who have and haven't found that one, what do you think that they need, the characteristics of the ones they need to look for up?
Yeah, I would say, man, first and foremost, they can't be impressed easily. You know, I think a lot of times you have fans.
That would touch J.O. Wynn. That nigga said, That nigga said,
Nigga, I'm going to hit the keyboard.
This nigga play the keyboard, the guitar. This bitch, this is impressed with a nigga that can do like this. He was like, fuck. That was for you, my nigga.
But I think even Marvin Gaye peeked from behind the sweater to hear that shit. Look at that. That nigga peeked out.
But I just think they can't be easy. I think first and foremost can't be easily impressed. I think what's worked in my relationship, she ain't tripping off what I do. She ain't tripping on how people trip off me. When you come through that door, you Kenny Burns, you my husband, you daddy, these boys, and that's respectable. And then also too, like as men, man, we get so boastful just in our spirit. Even if we're not outwardly saying like, yo, I'm doing it, but our energy carries that. And, you know what I'm saying? And I think that a woman is the perfect, you know, your woman. Or a black woman, period, is the perfect person to bring you down to earth. You know what I'm saying? I hear you, nigga, wash your drawers. You got to let that shit over there on the thing all day.
Right, my girl would definitely tell me, hey, you need to go take a bath. I'm like,
But for real, though, and I don't think you respect that from your guy. Your guy's not going to tell you. Your guy's not going to even be thoughtful enough to share that kind of shit with you. But it's the intangibles that make them superheroes. I promise you that.
I be telling them more woman, even though y'all got to understand, we get our script from y'all.
Yeah.
Every time we gonna talk that gangster shit at all, fuck these bitches, fuck these bitches. But we always be looking like, where's the bitches? Like, we need the bitches, man.
I would never say
without these motherfuckers, man. Where are they?
We'd have had them conversations. For real. The energy of a woman is always gonna bring the energy of anything
priceless.
Up. It's priceless, but it's just, I think a lot of what I done learned from my perspective is just that a lot of dudes ain't who they say they are. So you can't never
Instagram
find no woman to give you.
Fucked up.
But
you
they can't find
but,
no
but this the thing. That's why it gets tricky, because when the women get around, the fuck niggas who ain't been molded right or trained enough, you feel me? The women bring their little energy out on it. They go this ego that's not them. They got to act like they got a stunt. And you be like, this nigga always flexing when females get around. Because females is the energy booster to whatever it boosts you. Like when you see it, like, you know how motherfuckers be like, I want to go to a party, but it ain't a party because ain't no women.
Right.
Now when the women get here, okay, shit, feel like a goddamn party now. Right. You feel what I'm saying? So it's like whatever that energy is. That's what it is. Right. You feel what I'm saying?
My uncle told me a long time ago, he said, man, and this has always been powerful to me, God rest his soul, because he ended up losing his life this way. But he said that, man, whenever somebody, he said, all these murders you see out here in the streets, all your friends know that one or two things always going to be involved, some money or a girl. Every time. It's always going to be that. And I'm like, well, why just the negativity? He was like, because men don't know how to harness their own energy. So the negativity is always going to be embraced in the most negative situations, and the money and the girls are the easiest thing to motivate niggas to make fucked up decisions. So that makes you know that the power of money and the power of a woman is equal. And I would say women is more powerful than money, because if you ain't got a dime and a woman walk in, you're gonna feel like, I got to get some money. Some money gonna make you feel like, you know, you can get a woman, but a woman gonna make you feel like you need to get some money. So I just think that, you know, women got to understand that they had that power, and we got a responsibility as men to feed that energy and be better towards them. But at the end of the day, ladies, you got a responsibility to know that, motherfucker, y'all really run shit.
A woman. A woman. Accountability. Yeah. Responsibility.
What's
wrong with you, man? Yeah. You gonna try to unlearn all the shit that you know?
Unlearn. But you're right, God. And I think I speak. We got this thing called Women's Only, and it's three married men.
And they be letting
around.
You in there?
Yeah.
Bro, that is, bro, that's, bro.
But it's married men talking to single women.
Y'all fucking the game up. Stop that shit, man. Don't nobody want y'all fucking advice?
Yes, they do.
No, the fuck they
y'all
do.
Y'all married.
Y'all the ones fucking the game up.
We need that shit, Kim. What advice?
You out here telling these motherfuckers all this old extravagant ass shit. You can have $100 million. No, the fuck
no,
you can't.
No, no,
Kenny Burns got that shit.
No, no.
He having these meetings at the Ramada Inn telling all the bad women, stop giving away your pussy. Work on your business. Get your mind together. Focus on yourself. Man, shut that shit up. You been your wife beautiful than a motherfucker, man. Don't be out here putting all that bullshit
no,
in the game.
I understand this nigga.
And make sure you get my book. Man, fuck all that bullshit.
Yeah. I think
you know the nigga fucking nigga. It's married. It's me and my wife giving single women advice. For fucking what? For what? Y'all are together. Leave us the fuck alone. We'll figure it out. We need to know what y'all did in the second year of marriage when shit got rough. Who gives a shit? Y'all fucking together.
Me and
my homeboy baby face. Man, get the fuck out of here. Jay stopped in with the last one. He brought the Honda out. Believe it or not.
The stories is too extravagant.
And Marie sings the intro. Get the come
God.
On, man. Why in the hell are you out here giving single women advice? Look, if I was trying to fuck you, this is what I'd do. Get out of here, kid.
This is why I would never get married. I can't see myself getting married, because just him making that statement, that nigga kidding me. Wait a minute.
Wait.
We're not putting that out.
Ain't said nothing like that.
I got me a similar.
Now listen, I'm trying to take like the single women. They really respect what we got going on. Why are you talking to single women, Kenny? What are you doing?
I think that there's a disconnect.
You can't connect it.
I have.
You
have.
It already.
Okay, Superman, your wife give you too much confidence, bro. Bro, what are you can't connect it. It's been disconnected.
flagged it. Who the fuck said, hold on, let me connect this for y'all.
Oh,
you
shit. He already connected.
Yeah, if you don't fall the fuck back and let us figure this out.
I'm trying to have your back. I'm trying to give him information.
Stop.
That makes it easier for
whatever
you.
Whatever you saying, they're hearing the opposite.
All right. I hear that. All right. I mean, being out here, like I said, we were just talking about that. Like, you have an extraordinary nigga. You have done extraordinary shit. No, okay. So you are sending a lot of these women out into the world
with
extraordinary
shit.
Nigga energy, and they coming.
Well, that no. If you're going to Kenny Barnes seminar, he ain't gonna be there. I'm gonna take his spot.
There you go.
They need to let us come. They need next to, one. Bring up.
Are you in the same boat as me?
Yeah, I am, but I ain't married.
Oh, okay.
Right. You let me come. Let me come talk. Let me, after you say whatever, now we're gonna have the
that's gonna be overseas.
Me and Lowe's need to come talk.
My seminar in a dream.
What kind of extreme sport is this? You and your wife go in a room full of fine ass women. Baby, I ain't gonna look at no
my
ass
wife don't
women.
Go.
Where do you go? What the fuck?
My wife don't go.
What?
Nigga, man, they playing Uno, send out. Hey, how y'all doing?
Hey, well, let's talk about feelings today. You wanna discuss?
They coming in, boom. Hey,
we just being friendly. We just
playing
talking.
Uno. All right, now skip you. Skip you. No, you can't do that.
We got the door open in the hallway.
Nigga got the baby speaker set up in that motherfucker. They can hear everything, man. We got.
But I thought you said they was in there sending baby seat.
Y'all wild shit.
But what is the grand scheme?
I was there playing. I can't go to the seminar. I'm just like Kenny Barnes.
Called for women only.
I can't go to the seminar. I'm just like Kenny. Fuck it.
This episode is sponsored by Blue Chew. My name is Carlos Miller. Blue Chew. .com. Trust me. At this point, you already know. It's people asking me, man, what that Blue Chew do? Blue Chew brings you the first chewable with the same FDA-approved active ingredients as Viagra and Cialis. And it's a sexual stimulant. Now, it's not going to cure any ailments or anything like that. But it will have you making sweet, sweet love to your lady.
BlueChew.com.
If you can benefit from more confidence where it counts, Blue Chew is the fastest and easiest way to enhance your performance. These pills are amazing. Go check them out at BlueChew.com. If you could use a confidence boost or you just want to feel like your old self again, trust your mans. Use the promo code. It's only $5, man. You can try it for $5. Go online, BlueChew.com. You can go right on your phone. That's Blue, B-L-U-E. Chew.com. Hey man, make sure you hit that website and use their promo code. I just want you to see what all the hype is about. You get what I'm saying? Trust me on this. Use the promo code, get your first shipment for free. 85 South. I put that on everything. Times is hard out here. You hear me?
For women only, like, so what does that accomplish for the women? And you in your opinion, at least.
Well, I think there's a disconnect where women feel like they have to be, quote unquote, as free as men. Like, this generation of women are unapologetic for the things they do, which they rightfully should be. But at the same time, I think there's a certain disconnect where they don't realize the men are judging them for said actions in a lot of ways, right? So it becomes this whole melting pot discussion of, well, why can't I do what I want to do? And what, you know, and so there's a whole bunch of topics that come into play because and for me, I want everybody to do what they want to do in life. I just want you to be thoughtful about the consequences and what happens. You know, right. It's like you can go on Instagram and be this whole other person. You can have fans only, but then you want a respectable man. You know what I'm saying?
Right, after you done showed that pussy for $2.99
but
to
I'm serious,
a nigga
though.
In goddamn Connecticut.
Right, but I'm serious.
But bitch,
But I'm saying, plate. A lot of people live up. Like that. A lot of people make money. A lot of women make money like that.
And I ain't knocking nobody who got an OnlyFans.
I ain't knocking nobody that hustle, but you got to be prepared for the consequences and you wonder why certain things are happening in your life.
Well, that all goes into what you want, because I don't know why a woman who has an OnlyFans would want a respectable man. What the fuck do you want a respectable man for?
But that's
get you a nigga that don't give a fuck about shit like that.
But then if they don't care about nothing, they don't care about you ultimately if they don't care about nothing.
See, this is the bullshit I'm talking
about. Talk your
shit. No, but I'm just saying.
This is shit I'm talking about, Kenny.
No, but I'm just saying. Look, you can have relationships. It's plenty of dumb motherfuckers in the world.
Exactly.
You can go have
they need to be with them.
Relations with whoever. But I'm trying to say the women that say they want a relationship. This ain't got nothing to do with the women that don't care and the niggas that don't care. We talking about the women that want to be in a relationship. If you want to be in a relationship, there's things you have to do to be in a relationship, just like men. There's certain things we have to do to be in a relationship.
Fuck a relationship.
Okay,
man.
All right.
I mean, me, not kidding. I
get it. But this my thing. This my whole deal, bro. OG.
That's fine. We're ready to transition.
This my whole deal about it, right? A marriage is a contract. It's a contract, ain't it?
It is.
It's
a commitment.
It's a contract.
What you need to do with your girl. She get everything.
We got bigger issues. They is married men out here giving single women advice.
Uncle Nearest, the fastest growing single.
Listen, I agree.
To disagree.
But we gonna go ahead and get into this.
Man, we trying to get in the liquor game, too.
We are, because we got Carlos Bernard.
Hey, let me tell you something. I think they should give child support to whoever the baby look like the most. If the baby look like the daddy, hey, bitch, I wish you would put me on child support. That baby look just like me. You know I'm gonna run that checkup on your ass. Don't do it.
Why we giving another boy?
And he got my birthmark? Bitch, that's an extra $2,000. Don't do that.
I also think in America, if you decide to get married, if you decide to get divorced, you should have to get divorced the same way you get married. So the same way you made me sit and listen to y'all talk all that shit about how y'all were gonna be together forever, I should get to come to the courtroom and hear y'all talk about all the shit that made y'all break the fuck
up. That's private.
Ain't no private. No. If I got to come hear Brian McKnight sing and see y'all cry and your
daughter and you
and
get
shit,
to pick what side you sit on, exactly. Whoever you agree
whoever
with.
Whoever you fuck with, you get to sit. The divorce need to be the same way as marriage. So if whoever you get an invitation to your wedding, like get an invitation to your divorce, or whenever y'all go to that court hearing, I get to be in that bitch just like I was at the wedding.
Listening to everything.
Everything.
She did what?
Yo, she sucked in balls, y'all. Listen to the voicemail 11. She sucked my dick alive.
And then she come with, well, nigga, if your balls ain't smell like motherfucking outside, maybe you could have got yours sucked.
I'm going to go sit on my cousin's side.
Right, nigga, that's what it is. But enough of that.
Enough of that.
Some more of this.
I did not know we were going down the rabbit hole. I did.
You are exposed. We started a YouTube page about that shit. You know that. That shit has to end.
Oh my God.
That was the weed.
That shit has to
end. Yeah,
this right here is amazing, man. Like I said, I'm a
Kenny Burns.
Let me get some of that shit, man. Y'all niggas like bullshit.
Oh, nah, yours right there. Yours, he grabbed yours. That's the one he bought.
Yeah. And me right here.
But like I said, you are one of my biggest motivations and somebody that I look up to grandly. But when we was outside earlier, you said some shit that fucked me up, because all of the things that I know you have done throughout your career and all of the dope shit that you've accomplished, you said that this is the best shit that you've ever done.
No question.
And this your reparations, you said.
Yes.
So
he said,
like
"Nah,
a motherfucker."
No, you said that this is.
I want to do some alcohol. That's why even when we came up with Carlo Bernard, that hit alcohol too.
Bernard, yeah. That shit. But why is this the coup de grace? Why this?
Yeah. So there's a lot of variables, right? So when I actually was doing all the influencer programs, creating all these events and brands within brands. You want that?
Yeah, go. Drop it.
I realized that I never owned anything in the business, right? All the things I would put my money up for that I was actually passionate about, whether it was parties to promote, concert tours, whatever I would do, I had never garnered the success that I have just in the short 3 years this brand has been, you know, around. And when it happened, I had launched Revolt Television with Puff in 2013, and I moved to LA.
Salute to Revolt, they fuck with us.
Shout out to Puff, man, P. Diddy.
Yeah, so we went out there, we moved to LA. But when I moved out there, in my contract, I had that once the senior level executive package was defined, I would get my piece, right? Because it wasn't defined yet. That's the trickery, right? So I get into the contract. And then midway through, Sean's like, yo, come over to Sean Combs Wine and Spirits and help us out with Ciroc and we got this tequila we want to launch. So Apple Ciroc was my launch. I launched De Leon Tequila. Now, mind you, I'm still on this contract, though. He doubled my salary, but I'm still on this contract because I want some ownership. That was all I wanted to do. Like, at this point in my career, that's the only thing I hadn't achieved.
Right, right.
And when
right.
you don't own something, you don't get residuals. When you don't own something, you can't go, you know, leverage something against nothing. So this right. was my thing. And so when it didn't happen, I was like, all right, I'm going back. And he paid me out handsomely to leave. I give him that. But when I got back to Atlanta, literally, I was like, damn, like, square one. Now, mind you, I'm 40-something years old, and I'm talking about square one, not square one as not well, having no paper.
Say, that's scary than a motherfucker.
Yeah, but not having no paper, but square one is like I'm adapting and adjusting again. Anytime right. you pivot in business, you subject to lose it all.
Right.
Please know that.
Right.
Anytime you putting your own money up for things, anytime right. you putting your all into something, you subject to lose. But you got to be willing to lose. Because if you're
risk.
Willing to lose, you're willing to gain.
Right.
And 2 months later, literally, after I moved back, a guy I played golf with one time in my life. I don't play golf.
Right.
I do not play golf.
Right.
My partner was like, I knew he was getting a bag. I wanted to be around another bag, another level of bag. He was 40 million up. I wanted to be around the billionaire dudes. The dudes had the billion. They was VCs. So I'm like, let me go. It's Trump golf course. Actually, this is way before Trump in office. This is way before Trump in
Nigga
office.
Nigga got a golf course. God damn. Yeah.
He got yeah. a bunch of golf
So
course.
I'm drinking. I'm on the buggy all day. I ain't swing at eight. I swung just for play. I wasn't even into it.
Fucking round.
Dude remembers me from that day. One time meeting me. And when he did the Series A raise for Uncle Nearest, he had reached out and was like, look, I know what you do in the spirits business. You know, we want you to come and do something with this, but you got to meet the lady Fawn Weaver. And so Fawn Weaver, a sister, married to Keith, a black woman.
What's up, Miss Weaver?
Yeah, married to Keith Weaver. Flew down to Lynchburg, and just where I was in my life again, it was another pivot. Mm. And I'm hearing this information. To your point of saying reparation, I'm hearing this information, right? Like on what's going on. A slave taught Jack Daniels how to make whiskey.
Right.
And so I'm hearing this story, but not only am I hearing it, D.C., I'm on the holy ground. I'm at ground zero. I'm where all this shit is happening. So she's taking me through the process. Now, mind, let me see your bottle for a second. She takes me to the square. You know what I'm saying? She tells me about the racial tension and how this family, the Green family, was prominent in this place. And I'm mm-hmm. like, Lynchburg, Tennessee, how was they prominent? She's telling me these stories, and I'm getting hip. Then she takes me to this farm. This house is on the farm called the Dan Carl Farm. This is where a young Jack Daniels came as an orphan, and this is where Uncle Nears was the best whiskey maker in the county, right?
Mm-hmm.
So whole time I'm on this land, she take me, I'm drinking water out the creek and shit. I'm doing just shit I ain't never done, you know right. what I'm saying? Because the limestone purifies the water, they got this whole thing. That's why it's one of the magic sauces or secret sauces to Tennessee whiskey. But long story short, I'm going through the whole process and I'm getting more and more information. So I'm like, look, I want in. You know what I'm saying? I want 20% of the company. You know what I'm saying? I'm talking, because I'm coming in like, I can take this to a story. Right. I done blew up shit with less story.
You be like, I be giving advice to single women and shit.
Absolutely. So I'm like, I want 20%.
Motherfuckers be believing me. Yeah,
exactly. She's a beast. She's like, I can't give you 20% of the company, but we can work on something because I love your energy and I think you can help the brand. So long story short, I leave. We get in the business about a month later. Come to find out later on that not only did she own this property, she bought the 300 acres. Dan Carl is a prominent figure in the story of Jack Daniels. Jack Daniels does not own the Dan Carl farm. We own the Dan Carl farm, and this is the house on it. But not only did I not know that this was a prominent piece, and she had started, like Monopoly Boy, she started getting pieces of the Tolley House, which is another prominent figure in Jack Daniels. She owned that property. They live in that property.
Hey, Kenny, she, buy all they shit.
Yeah, no, but listen,
I'm going to
fuck
you
up. But she black, though. She black. She's a superhero.
Buy all they shit, bro.
But I'm going to fuck you up even more. This house, the Dan Carl Farm, is actually distillery number 7. Mm. Old number 7 is Jack Daniels' moniker.
Right, on the bottom.
We own distillery number 7, and she uncovered.
God damn.
She uncovered it. Fawn Weaver uncovered the shit, right? So I'm a part of all this fucking history, and that's why I was saying to him outside is the best thing I've ever been a part of, because you think it's going to be your legacy. I mean, I made millions of dollars. But your legacy is tied to somebody else's legacy in a way that you wouldn't have got on your own. That was my point about dreaming. It's cool. Yeah, I'm still, the Kenny Burns show about to be the biggest shit after the corona. All that, but at the same time, you know, I have my dream. This is my dream. I want to own the shit. I want to be a part of history. This will be, my face will be in the distillery 100 million years from now, God willing that everything's still intact, to show people that I was at the beginning of this. And that's, you know, that's fucking history.
Oh, hell yeah.
That's a beautiful thing.
I know it's some Jack
Daniels. That's why I got to holler at you about
old white man.
Yeah.
Nah, it's an old white man just found that out, like, I'll be a son of a bitch. You want to tell me about Edward owns Jack Daniels Farm?
First NASCAR, now this shit. Yeah.
God.
What else are you going to tell me next? That Michael Jordan owns Harley Davidson?
Hold on. And the reason why I want y'all to be in the spirits business, I'm about to fuck you all the way up.
Come on in.
Casamigos was owned by George Clooney and Peter Gerber. I think it was Peter Gerber. Peter Gerber. Fun fact that for me. But I think it's Peter Gerber. He's a hospitality guy. They, in 4 years, were a 79,000 case brand. No distillery, no nothing. They sold for $1 billion.
Well, look, we got some shit.
No,
boy.
We already made it up.
I ain't fucked you up yet. Y'all niggas getting fucked up.
I ain't fucked you up yet. We've been sold 79,000 cases. We in our third year. And I'm just saying, we have a distillery that is, it will rival any distillery in the business, let alone whiskey. And so what I'm saying to y'all is, y'all got to also, now that y'all got this platform, now that y'all had an opportunity where people are actually buying what you're selling, you gotta create the products, man. Give it to them, they're gonna buy it.
We'll be at old number 7.
Yeah, for real.
And I wanna take y'all up there. I wanna take y'all on the tour.
Nigga, we gone.
Man, we gotta go.
I got to go hug this black woman. Well,
for
I
real.
I just wanna hug her.
For walk real. Around on the plantation.
And mind you, all these motherfuckers I made money for, all these people I've been in business with, come on in here with the fun fact.
Go read that.
Yeah, Randy Gerber, that's what I said. Yep, George Clooney and Randy Gerber. Huh?
You said Peter.
Oh, I said Peter. So Randy Gerber, thank you, love. But yeah, but I'm gonna fuck you up though. What was I saying?
I don't know.
Now all the people you've been in business with.
79,000 cases, 3 years.
All the people I've been in business with, all the motherfuckers I made money for, all the people that seen my light when I ain't see it for myself.
Right.
It took a complete stranger to offer me equity in something. And y'all gotta realize, the people y'all think gonna do it ain't gonna be the people that's gonna do it. It's gonna be the motherfucker come out the woodwork because they see you
that's
for who you really are.
That's
no, I tell all the time.
That's
my spirit
an angel.
Animal.
That's an angel. I tell her all the time. Believe. But you know what? I always pray for this. You know what I'm saying? I ask God to guide my footsteps. And every time I place my feet somewhere, I always try to find my purpose on wherever I'm at. You dig what I'm saying? So by me listening to your story, I'm like, this nigga in the woods. On acres with some black lady teaching, telling him, I hope he in there like, God, you got this lady in front of me for a reason. Right. It's my duty to embrace all this right now.
But that's why I know you special, because to say like you, when you plant your feet, you become aware. Like,
right.
A lot of us aren't aware in any moment, let alone to stop immediately. I do that every time I show up.
Right.
Before I touch a microphone, before I speak to people.
I got to see
people,
what's going on.
But you also got to be thankful for the moment. Because when you can be thankful walking into the moment, you're going to receive, open to receive everything there. And that's why I be trying people, like, tell people, it's like, y'all be going into shit with premeditated notions of what you think's supposed to happen. No, be open to receive. See, the gift is the ability to receive and then regurgitate.
See, that's exactly what we do. That defines exactly.
But that's why I'm giving y'all
yeah,
props. That's why I'm even, and y'all are older than him, but that's why, like, for him to even be 28 to see that, you know what I'm saying? Like, y'all together is beautiful because one is showing black men that we could do things together, and that's the most important thing y'all could teach a motherfucker, like, real talk. But to walk in your purpose, that's anointment. That's like all this pulpit shit that's going on, people just want to get in for the likes or the conversation. Some real shit can happen with this for y'all because of the genuine and authentic nature that you're presenting. That's all I want to tell y'all. Yeah, and I respect.
We appreciate it.
We appreciate it.
We respect this
for
shit.
For real.
Nigga,
like, this is just amazing.
I got to go here.
And then we came up with the Carlos Bernard. We was talking about our middle name.
That's the next one.
And Carlos' middle name is Bernard. He said that sound like a cheap liquor. But the reality is, nigga, that shit do sound like some shit a motherfucker get right on. Some Carlos Bernard.
No, listen, don't dumb it. Listen, it is what it is. I wish I would listen to Damon Dash when he told me to take them button ups, from $300-$400 down to $69.99. This before Walters got a hold of them. This before everybody was selling the button up.
Right.
Walters was selling button up. This how popular we had this shit. My thing is, dog, I should have listened because it's about the motherfucking revenue. It's not about your personal preference. If you know you got a brand and this is who you speaking to, and they gonna go.
I know my people. Yeah, I know my people. They not buying that. Nigga, that's too high.
$19.99 is perfect.
Them niggas, I know them niggas.
My next offering gonna be $20. Watch what I tell you. This $60 a bottle, but my next offering gonna be $20. And I'm the fly. I think I'm one of the fly motherfuckers, especially be my age still in the game. But I promise you, I hear y'all. Y'all don't dumb down. Y'all should give it to them how they want it.
Yeah, that's we know how they want it.
You know what I'm saying?
We spoke to them. We know exactly how they want it. We ain't gonna talk all the dynamics right now, but we'll get it. We're gonna
rap.
However I can help.
I ain't gonna lie.
You know how. You know exactly how.
You got to stop them seminars though, real talk.
No, what I need to do is bring you Negro so you can see that bag.
Don't let this be like that.
I'm not opposed to that. I already offered myself up. I offered myself up to come.
Let me find out where the location is. I'm going to be outside protesting.
You guys.
Stop this madness. Stop this. Kenny Burns must be stopped.
Put the propaganda poster. See this face? You can't trust.
Nah, keep on your bending though, man. Because this mogul status, you feel what I'm saying? Like.
Don't let this be the last time you come through here.
Please.
No, I love it, man.
For you to say that you like now, you like finally seeing like your purpose. You done helped everybody out in the game. You done damn near stamped. You done architect of this shit. You feel me? But for you to be like, all right, now I'm satisfied. You know what I'm saying? And I can still, you know what I'm saying, implement everything that I learned into the actual product and brand that you want. You feel what I'm saying?
And this is another gangster thing. I ain't put $1 up for my shares. Not $1.
See, we should have stopped you before you said that.
My likeness and who I am in culture got me my equity.
So that's in that brand. That's full circle. So.
And I want y'all to know that, like, y'all matter like that. And when you go talk to these folks, you got to put the weight of everything you've done and who you are on the table. I'm even guilty of, like, shorting myself.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? I am guilty of it, too.
Stop doing that.
I'm not going to do it anymore.
But, that's what we're here for. We're here to uplift brothers, man. 100%. Stop doing that.
And I promise I'm not. But at the same time, you have to know what it feels like to know your worth. You cannot come in nowhere thinking it's automatic because I did something.
Right, right.
Right, right.
What they say, your best thing you did was the thing you just did. It ain't
what
your,
have you done for you me lately?
So I think we just, for us as people,
we got to know our value.
We got to know our value, and we got to get what we came for. We often go in and take what they give us. You know what I'm saying? I was telling him outside.
Shit.
I got offers out the woodwork for TKBS and like linear radio. I mean terrestrial radio. Like I'm wondering, like, do I even want to do that anymore? Like, right. I don't really need nobody. Everybody you've seen come on the Kenny Burns show, from the politicians to Kevin Hart, whoever, they all been my partner. I've had 50, actually my 50th episode next week.
Like, you got resources. You know what I'm saying? Why should I
everybody does. Like, this shit ain't 6 degrees no more, right, like it was for us
growing up.
It's
time to use your resources.
Yeah.
It's time.
It's easy to tap
in. It's easy now.
Bro, you remember we was just talking about
nigga,
this shit.
Nigga,
we just did that.
Didn't I just say, didn't I, what? Who?
Hey, shit, you did.
Shit.
Shit.
We know too many motherfuckers to be asking niggas for no money.
You said this shit.
What was I just saying outside?
Yeah, that's exactly what
we know
said,
too many motherfuckers to be asking niggas for an opportunity. Right. When we can put money up and create a fund, that's how a fund start. You dig what I'm saying? And then we go on from there, man. Because at the end of the day, I'm tired of asking these fuck niggas what they got for me when they really need me to help the company.
Come on.
You know what I mean? Straight up. Straight up. And
there's a bunch of niggas that don't. Look, there's a bunch of niggas that don't know culture running culture. And you got to stop that.
Right.
After this,
they got
corona,
control of our culture.
No, for sure.
Let it go.
That's
let it
a
go.
Fact. That's a fact. But guess what? After this, everything
go,
gonna be different.
Let it go.
After this, everything gonna be different. The way people consume.
I hope so. But you know what we gotta do? We gotta continue to say, hey y'all, continue to have that corona mindset. Just because if we back open the free and they start giving out stimulus check, don't be traps, remember?
It ain't gonna never be like that. We ain't got
corona
to worry about
mindset,
that.
If black people would just support their own, we'll run the world.
The world ain't gonna be. We were just saying that too, like how many times the black dollar don't bounce around our community. But the thing is, like a lot of people now, they don't have the ability to be able to see the profit in the shit that they've normally looked at for their whole life. But now that shit has changed and the world look different. Now the same places that you've been, even if it's to a restaurant, when you go in, you can be going to the restaurant for your whole life. Now you go in there, they got X's on the table. Mm. Nothing is the same, even just the smallest visual aspect.
Right.
So everything changes. So now that everything has changed, I hope that black people realize that we've had this gold mine that we've been walking on for generations. And for some reason, niggas just ain't fucked around and did the right thing. But now we can.
But you know what? I just told my little people in the neighborhood the other day, I said, bro, you got to understand, because I had this mindset. When you in the hood, they done demoralize our mindset that we don't think outside of a little ass 2-3 streets that we grew up on.
Because they gave us that.
You see what I'm saying? Like, that's all I know. Adam Bell, Martin Luther King.
Crime and sports. That's what they left us with.
But that's what I'm saying. We got drug dealing, sports, and rappers. If we feel like we don't do those three, we done failed in life.
Right.
When my nigga, no, that ain't the case. It's so much other shit and there's so many jobs out there and whatever that you good at and God gave you a talent at, you should use it. You see what I'm saying? Because like you say, every door gonna open up another door. You gotta trust Period. God to guide your footsteps and be like, all right, you don't, nigga, you have to get your bitch ass up off your ass and walk and use your feet because, it's not gonna come to you. You feel me? You got to go out there and be ready for the world, the lessons, the failures, the wins, the losses, all the pain, because that comes with the trials and tribulations just to reach a certain point to know that God is real. And second of all, you can do whatever you want to do if you put your mind to it.
Niggas want to be successful right now,
B. Word up.
And but, okay. But look though.
That's why
money
so
don't mean you are successful.
It doesn't.
Not even
come
that.
On.
It does not.
Just because you think it's a dollar.
Give me the guitar, man. Give me the motherfucker.
Just because you think it's a dollar.
You got it.
That don't mean that you are successful, my nigga. You dig what I'm saying? So every day that you are growing your mind state or whatever. First of all, I'm gonna give you another word, attainment.
Play me some pimping.
Attainment to atonement.
Attainment.
That's what you get to.
Some people just really be looking for success. They need to be worrying about attainment.
Hello?
Continuing to be consistency, to have those attainment, because now you're being successful because you're walking in your purpose.
Can I tell you the only thing you're missing in your game?
Talk to me.
The only thing you're missing in your game
what?
Is going in them boardrooms talking just like that. That's the only thing you're missing.
And eat the crab legs when you get in there.
Yeah.
No.
My last two meetings was like that.
Okay,
because
I can't let this go. I can't let this go.
Please tell it to me.
Because the problem with us is that business is business.
Mm-hmm.
We can be who we are, we can be free, we can smoke, we can do whatever we want to do. But business is until we write in the check, until we got the money, we have to handle business. And that's all you ain't got to be in no suit. You ain't got to be in, you got to be able to go talk and connect with the person you trying to get something out of.
Mm-hmm.
That's life.
Mm-hmm. Certain words that get them.
And you don't need nobody speaking for y'all. None of y'all. Y'all all are brilliant. Like the way that y'all, first of all, timing is probably one of the most underrated skill sets in the history of the world.
Mm-hmm.
You are comedians. Your time is impeccable. You set the whole motherfucking show until you got to fucking For Women Only and you murdered it. Because you had, I'm talking about all three of y'all are brilliant, and timing is something you can't teach.
Right.
You can't teach a motherfucker when to say the right shit. How you think that's gonna transform a room full of money?
They need a nigga who need to say the right
shit.
They
need a person they can count on that's trusted by the culture because they don't know culture. Let's stop the dumbing ourselves down. This ain't rocket science. And the thing about it is, y'all proving it. So y'all social generation that really benefiting from it, y'all proving it. But now you got to take it off of Instagram and put it on goddamn your shit.
Mm-hmm.
You got to take it off. And this is what I'm trying to tell y'all, man. They can't fuck with y'all, man.
Mm-hmm.
But see, y'all out here that supporting for the last in the moment, y'all got to stay down. LaFace Records don't exist because y'all ain't stay down. Motown Records ain't exist because niggas want to cancel
Tokyo
culture.
Tokyo shit.
We don't own shit.
They don't let them
one legacy brand we own. Big shout to Richie Lou Dennis for buying Essence back. Well, who the fuck, what we got from them days? We ain't got none of that shit. Carl Canal don't own shit. Nobody own nothing. Fun fact that, but I'm damn sure. But my point to y'all is, y'all can own y'all shit. The money is in ownership.
Right.
The money ain't in sharing money with these motherfuckers that don't know you. The only advantage they got is they got the capital to back you.
Right.
But y'all don't need to. I'm looking at 1,600 cameras in here, y'all. They got the cameras, they got the guitars and shit. The shit is real, man.
We got 15. We got about 4. Goddamn, Kenny, they gonna be over trying to figure out where we at.
Get a nigga out of it, bro.
Goddamn, Ken, we ain't got nothing like 4.
You hear me? Yeah, you got that, enough to do
that's
the job.
That's the excitement of just seeing the shit. Yeah,
we own them, bro. We own them.
Yeah,
we
got
shit.
You know what I'm saying? One go to no, they wait.
Is that a red? Is that a red camera?
No, that's 4K.
No, that's Sony.
4K. Yeah, it's a Sony. Yeah, it's the one they recorded the Rodney King beat with, but we know how to rig the shit up
that's
real
Sony,
good over here.
I feel
exactly what you're saying.
But y'all are powerful.
Just like we was talking on the last joint.
Right.
Like you said, we got everything we need to have everything we want.
Right.
Y'all got the power, man. And power is purpose. Power is not like, please, man. Again, back to your, you got to know it's something spiritual out here guiding us, y'all.
Right.
You might not have to believe in God and church. I'm sorry, church. But you got to believe in God.
They better believe.
Right.
You better believe. I always tell a nigga, you better believe. Let me tell you something, man. God is real, man. You dig what I'm saying? I don't 100%. Care what y'all got. Let me tell you something. God is real, and he'll come in any type of form. So that's why when I say, when you say you stepping into the room, and you got to brace yourself. Because first of all, you don't know who's the angel.
Hello?
You see what I'm saying? You don't know who is the angel. So you got to be paying attention to everything that's moving, and when you and you'll know it by off the conversation.
Hello?
All right.
And the energy is right. And like you said, it could be the janitor, man. They wanna know what you doing talking to the janitor. Man, what? But that energy right there, man, I had to have that conversation. You see what I'm saying? Because I know an angel. Man, I got out of my car. I was driving, right? I was driving. Nigga is in the middle of the lane. He painting. He on the car, but he homeless though. He paints. And I like art.
That. That was dope.
Nigga, I pull up at 2:30 in the morning. Nigga. Boom, boom, get out. Hey, what's happening, OG, man? I like the art spraying to me. He, you know, he talks fast. You know, he own it, but you know what I'm saying? But he gave me game, though. You see what I'm saying? Game that stuck with me, that this is somebody who homeless. You feel what I'm saying? 2:30 in the morning, and I'm just sitting out there kicking shit, because he ain't thinking nobody finna come out here and kick shit. So now he know this game and knowledge that he got, he can spread it on to somebody. It don't matter what your predicament is. Yeah. He got knowledge for a nigga. And I'm like, I'm paying him for whatever it was. But I'm just sitting there like, you know what, OG? Damn, we got to do better just on you. It's somewhere you went wrong at, but I'm not going to knock you for that. But guess what? I look at you as an example to, you know what? We got to keep succeeding. We got to keep scribing. And that game that you gave me, I'm going to give it to somebody else.
That's
too.
Right.
You see what I'm saying? So it's like, we got to understand all angels, bro. I don't knock nobody. Oh, you dig what I'm saying?
That's why we appreciate, like, that's why I got to say, man, just, you know, big kudos and appreciation to you, man, for giving that game that you gave out in that documentary, man, because I'm telling you, a big reason of why I'm sitting right here is because I stumbled upon that. And what you put down in that helped me understand that I always had it. It's like my favorite movie is The Last Dragon. And It's so much game in that movie that people miss, and I, you know, salute Berry Gordy for putting it out, because the glow, it's already in you. Whatever your glow is, you got it. You just gotta realize what it is, and you gotta come to understand what your glow is and how to put it out. And once you put it out, can't nobody fuck with you. And that was a pivotal point in me realizing my glow, something that I done always had. I done always been a fly ass nigga. I done always been able to do all this shit that we in the community that I come from think it's cool, but I ain't never put my mind to really challenging my skill set and what I'm able to do.
Challenge
and when
you.
I saw that challenging myself, I'm always was trying to impress the status quo and make sure that the status quo fit whatever it is I was doing. But after I saw your journey and knowing you came from the same streets I came from, and it was like, I had never heard of you before then. That's another thing that motivated me. It was like, I'm 20 years old at that point, and I'm like, I ain't never even heard of this nigga. Like, who is this dude? And from that moment, I realized that, oh, man, I got a responsibility to utilize what I got, because I've always been special, but I ain't never challenged myself. From that moment
you
on was a
fucking loser.
Right. And from that moment on, and even without me, that's real, though. Even without me challenging myself, I done always been extraordinary, even without challenging myself. So if I did, then what would I be able to accomplish? And here we sit, man. So yeah. I salute you, man. Thank you,
brother.
Appreciate
that. Thank you, man.
You know what I mean?
And I want to say this to all the youngers too, man. Like, you know, it's okay to not be on the front line. A lot of people can't handle the front line. I was never on the front line early. You know what I'm saying? I was always doing my thing, but my light wouldn't let me be behind everybody, but for so long. Mm-hmm. But you gotta be okay with that. You gotta be able to embrace that and know that your purpose is gonna deliver you to where you need to be. And I just want y'all to realize that, man, because this light, everybody can't handle it. You know what I'm saying? It brings the worst out of people. It puts you in compromising positions.
Right.
And everybody ain't mentally strong enough to handle it. And when I tell you, I seen people commit suicide, God rest the dead. I've seen people become drug addicts, lose their whole sense of like, they don't know they stink, fucked up teeth. I mean, I seen the business, and this is the majority of the people. This is not, it's like a handful of motherfuckers really made it. You know what I'm saying? But I want y'all to be conscious of what you're getting into. Study, learn about the shit you want to get into, and don't come into this shit blind, man, because just like DC said, man, or both of y'all said, you play basketball, sport, that ain't the only shit you could do, man. The best idea wins. And anything I've ever seen, any business, genre of business, anything, the best idea wins. So,
niggas, you know, good at everything, shit, man. Exactly. Black people are fucking talented at a lot of shit. And you don't even know you're good at some shit until you do it.
Yeah, trial and error is the best way to learn. School to teach you something.
Be afraid to fail. Fucking losers. You out to play some Pippin on this guitar.
When you really live in life, you get to have
You know, Prince is my father in my mind.
There you go. You got to pick.
I never meant to cause you any pain.
Oh, you been on this lick.
No. Yeah. Hey, I ain't even gonna lie. Hey. I was finna brace myself for this bullshit.
Yeah, right. I was like, I'm glad that nigga put that in the documentary. I'd have been like, oh, this nigga fake.
I ain't gonna lie to him, though. I would be like, I ain't getting
this nigga strutting. This nigga finessing.
That's how you get them single ladies in there. I know you been going through some pain.
Boom. One note. One note.
When you get married, it ain't the same.
So y'all really gonna play the doc after this, man? I would be honored.
Yes, man. I want people to see it.
How long is it?
35 minutes.
35 is short. It ain't even long, bro.
It's cool. Depending on how they edit. Y'all edit right.
Hey, drop some info right where these people can catch up on you. I know a lot. You probably made some new fans on here today.
At Kenny Burns on everything. The Kenny Burns Show on YouTube. I just started my YouTube page. Congrats on y'all's success.
Thank you. Thank you.
I really admire it, man. I was just telling Chico before y'all came, man, like, seeing y'all do it make me want to be on, like, be more active on. You know, I'm an OG. Like, right. I ain't really into... But you know, it's
social thing.
Because
the kids are tapped in. I mean, these motherfuckers, like, right. I had to understand, like, even though I'm, you know what I'm saying, I be doing that stupid shit. I got to let E4 know I'm smart.
No,
too,
you
though.
Are, bro. Don't do it unapologetically. Don't right. think, because that was my thing. I just told you, I'm finally accepting. I was telling Los before the show, I'm finally accepting I'm an OG. Like,
right.
I'm at that age where I can share the game. I can push it in perspective.
We need it, though.
No, but the gangster shit is, a lot of people don't want to do that.
Right.
A that's lot of people don't want, like, they just don't want to let go.
Because you know why? It ain't enough young nigga that said, hey, OG, I want you to kick some of that pimping. You feel me? Like, that's why I say I'm one of them niggas that want to hear that shit. Like, I want it because that motivate me. It's not no hang standpoint like, oh, man, you motherfucker. No, nigga, exactly. Show me how you got it because, nigga, I admire that. You feel what I'm saying? Yeah. So it's like, if you got the blueprint already and I know you're a resource. If I know, if you broke the code, you broke the code, you broke the code. If everybody here broke the code, that's 15 different blueprints. And nigga, I'm at the crib reading every last blueprint. You see what I'm saying? Yeah. Because that only gonna help me in my mindset. Yeah.
That's dope, man. Keep going, y'all. I applaud y'all, man. I respect your movement.
Hey, man.
Hold up, Ken, before you go, you got to do the famous. We done started the last show. You got to do the famous shoulder shrug. Double step. Come on.
We in the game.
We appreciate you coming through our trap house. You're welcome anytime.
What would I say?
We're going to see what this Uncle Nair is hitting on.
Hell yeah.
World famous Kenny Burns. One more time, man. One more time.
Tune in to the Kenny Burns Show.
Love.
Where my man Roy at, man? Shoot us up. Craig, shoot us up.
Thank you.
OG. Appreciate the words. I love.
Appreciate the words.
I love. Come on, man.
You got a book?
Yeah, I got a book.
For real?
Yep, Dream is Real.
For real.
Simon Sheets about to let me read.
For real, I need goddamn reading shit. I don't know, I might read shit later.
Nah, ain't
even
gonna
take the book. I don't like nothing that... that handicap me.
Because
I'm gonna get used to that.
You
need to be able to know the words. More words that I know, I realize when I'm reading, I can't even sound out the other words. I'm like, wait, I'm smarter than this shit.
Bro, look, we got some new merch here. Man, come on, man. I'm getting me a big ass jacket, man.
That jacket way too big.
Bigger than a. You know, we got all sides.
Come on, but these the ones I ordered, though. This is my size.
Oh, no, the perfect size, man. Where they can find them at?
85apparel.com.
Know what time it is. Get your shit right now.
People been asking about these jerseys. The jerseys have been restocked.
Uh-oh.
Make sure you hit the website at 85apparel.com, man. We're giving you $25 off every order of $100 or more.
And if you're looking for the sweaters are still up. Yep, custom fit, huh? We got them in all sizes, small, medium, large, extra large, bigger than a
Come
you
on.
You know it.